The book of John, chapter 16, and we just appreciate everybody here. I appreciate you as a church, everybody as an individual, and I know I don't say it as much as I need to, but I do love everyone that's here. I mean that, and I hope I show that. Amen. I know I'm not perfect, but I try to show that. Amen. I appreciate you. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, amen. If you get there, just give me a good amen. All right, in a very familiar reading, and I'm going to read another verse of Scripture you don't have to turn to. But this is what it says in John chapter 16, in that one verse, 33. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have," what? "Peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Amen. Cheer up, my brother. Amen. "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Isn't that some wonderful news? Amen. Who overcame the world? Jesus did. My, that comforts me that somebody overcame this world. I could probably begin to list off thousands of people. If I had access to their names, I could tell you about thousands of people who did not overcome this world. And apart from Jesus Christ, it is really impossible to overcome this world. Amen. I'm going to read one more verse. You do not have to turn there, but same author. 1 John 4:4 says this, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is" what? "In you than he that is in the world." Amen. Very familiar reading there. So today I want to talk to you. I don't know how often I'll be able to touch on this series, but I want to preach to you multiple messages, maybe, I don't know yet, about the becoming of an overcomer. The becoming of an overcomer. And tonight I'm going to preach to you on V for victory. V for victory. Anybody ever heard that term? V for victory. Very popular. Many different people have used it for over the years. But there was a very famous man by the name of Winston Churchill. Anybody ever heard of Winston Churchill? Famous in, I believe it was World War II. I believe it was. And he had something. He would do something just like this. He would put up two fingers, and it wasn't the peace sign. Amen. It was a V. And he would often, I read of some different things and heard different accounts of where Winston Churchill would even go into places that had just been bombed, where destruction had just taken place. And you would find him at times walking down the streets, and when he would see the soldiers, he would throw up that V with his fingers. And that just naturally, in the minds of all of his soldiers there, it meant victory. It meant V for victory. And that's what I want to preach to you today, on V for victory. Just somewhere I want you to see the big V tonight. But I don't want you to see it for me. I want you to see more than my fingers. I want to show it to you in the Word of God. But tonight, when dealing with victory in the life of the believer, I would understand today, I've talked to enough people, and I feel like I've done enough preaching on this certain area, or dealt with enough people, that victory is something that is a stranger in a lot of people's lives. And I'm not talking about glimpses and touches and occasional encouragements, but I'm talking about living every single day in the life of victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get there. There is a place by Him. I believe that. Look, I know as human beings, we've got a whirlpool of emotions. We have different things that we have dispositions we are faced with. We've got certain people have certain personalities and are affected different ways by certain things. I know that. But I want to tell you today that victory is for everybody that is in this room tonight. It is not to be a stranger in the life of a believer. You are not to live a life of failure and defeat. Hear me. You are not to live that life. I know I've heard testimonies. I've sat down with many people that are Christians. It's not that they're sinners. It's not that they're bad people. But when they begin to testify, you can instantly hear that the victory is not present at that time in their life. Their faith is in Jesus. They had their faith in Christ, but yet they're still in their mind and in their heart. The devil is fighting them. And if you're not careful, you can give way to the voice of the enemy. But I'm going to ask this question tonight. What is victory in the life of a believer? What is victory? And I want to tell you tonight that victory is not a thing. It's not so much as an experience. Victory is a person. Victory is a person. It's not a thing. It is not a certain place that you visit occasionally. But victory in the life of the believer is a person. Victory is not a thing or an experience. It's not a matter. It is a person, and we all know who that person is. His name is Jesus Christ. When you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, I challenge you, instantly say victory. Victorious. The overcoming Lamb. The Lamb of God who was slain from the very foundations. You know, when John's looking at heaven and in Revelation 5, I believe it is, he said, who is worthy to open the book? That victorious Lamb was the one that was worthy. Sometimes, my friend, we often look, if we're not careful, we begin to look for experiences and certain things. What I'm telling you we need to look for tonight is not a certain experience. We need to look for more of Jesus Christ. If you get full of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will live a life of overcoming life. You will live a life of victory and overcoming life. And I don't want to cause you to praise the Lord today, amen. It's not on how hard I work. It's not on my ability. It's not on my attributes or anything about me, not my talents. But my victory in the Lord and God and in the things of God is not based nor determined on me as a person as much as it is based and determined on the Lord Jesus Christ. That right there is the instant deliverance from anything you are facing in this room tonight. If it be a mind battle, Jesus is the victory over your mind battles. If you need healing in your body, Jesus is that healer. If you need to draw closer, Jesus is the one that will draw you closer. Anything that you're facing, family situations, financial problems, I promise you, in Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus, there is victory. In this message tonight, I want you to consider what victory really is. We need to consider the characteristics of this overcoming life, and the Bible shows us many characteristics of this overcoming life, and we tonight, with the Lord's help, I trust we're going to leave here encouraged with our faith evermore in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I read the Bible and begin to think and expound on what the life of a Christian should be, sometimes our testimonies testify otherwise. Amen? The life of a believer is always to be joyous. Amen. And there's sometimes somebody don't have joy. I know everybody responds different, but that's supposed to be the life of the believer. In the life of the believer, there's always supposed to be faith and strength and encouragement. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be light. We're supposed to be influence. All these different things should be the normal Christian life for everybody that is sitting in this building. Everyone underneath the sound of my voice, it's not the will of God that we struggle every single day with the same old things. We are not to struggle every single year with the same old things. God wants to move us forward. He wants to push us forward into that life of victory. But what usually happens, and this is just what I have experienced, what usually happens is this. In the life of a lot of believers, some people do not know what victory is to the place they don't even know what they're seeking for. They do not know how to seek for it. They do not know really how to enter into victory. You have some people to say you've got to work your way into victory. You've got certain people say you've got to do this many calisthenics or keep this certain idea or follow this certain creed and then you'll get into victory. But I want to tell you tonight, but more than anything in the world, what victory is putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did for you. It's not your ability. It's nothing to do with you as much. Yes, I know there's parts of life. You've got to follow commandments. You've got to make decisions. I know that. But before you can even do that, you've got to find yourself living in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk to you tonight because I want this to relay and find place in your heart. I'm going to name some different things, what victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we can experience that victory and be an overcomer just like the Lord Jesus Christ is. I want to talk to you first and foremost, and this is, I just got a few different ideas we're going to talk about. How do we enter into victory? First thing you've got to understand about the life that we've got to live in Jesus Christ is that the life that we're called to live is an exchange life and not a changed life. I'm going to say it again. Get those words. It is not an exchange. It is an exchanged life and not a changed life. It is an exchange, like you would make an exchange, and it's not so much a changed life. I will explain this. Brothers and sisters, victory has to do with that exchanged life. It's something that victory does not mean that one is always changed, but rather one is exchanged. Now, I'm going to explain this to where we'll understand it here tonight. Galatians 2:20 says this. It says, I am crucified with who? Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What does that verse mean? It means that our lives have been exchanged when you got saved. Have you ever heard somebody say, I came to the altar and gave my life to Jesus? I'm going to tell you, friend, when you came to the altar, you didn't give your life to Jesus. Jesus gave His life to you. Amen. You were dead as a doornail when you came up here. The only reason you came is because the Holy Ghost drew you. It wasn't because you thought it was a good idea. It was because the Holy Ghost touched that heart. And you had to say, yes, Lord. You had to respond to that. When you came to the altar spiritually, you did not have anything so much of a life to give the Lord. But when you came to the altar, you expressed yourself to the Lord. You pronounced, you professed your faith to Him. There the Lord began to deposit into you that life and that life eternal. He began to exchange in you. He began to take that old man and He began to put that new man inside of you. The greatest mistake we made today, make today, my friend, is hear this. It's when we begin to believe that we did something on our own to get saved. No, you did not. I didn't, and you did not. And like I said, that verse, Galatians 2 and 20, it means that our life is exchanged. Our life is no longer in the realm of I. It has nothing to do with us anymore. It is not the evil eye being changed into a good eye, or the filthy eye being changed into a clean eye. It is no longer I, but it is Christ. Everything when you came to that altar, Jesus exchanged. He took the old man. He gave you life. He spoke life into you. He touched you. He revived that spirit. And there, here we are. Today, when you're born again, it's not I that lives, but Christ. He lives in me. Amen. Amen. I've got to take this thing off. I'm sorry. I try to keep it on sometimes. It just gets too hot. Amen. It's that exchange life. We must understand that. A lot of frustrations in the life of believers take place when they try to operate in their own strength. I want to encourage you tonight in this. If you're trying to overcome something, quit trying to do it on your own. I love when somebody comes to me and says, Brother Derek, I can't do it. I say, I know you can't. You can't do it. Jesus can. He empowers you to do that. I've dealt with drug addicts and said, Brother Derek, I cannot do it. I cannot overcome. I said, you need to quit trying. You need to let Jesus overcome. You need to put your faith in something that's already happened and taken place. And when you put your faith in that, it's like it comes to life inside of you. And it begins to change you. Hear me today, friend. If we're not careful, we have people that will try everything they can to maintain a relationship with God, when that relationship with God can only be maintained through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's already done at Calvary. Amen. Hear me today. It's not on your own merit that you got saved. You don't keep yourself saved. I know in a sense, I don't want to confuse you. Yes, you got to make decisions. Yes, I know there's things you got to conform to. You got to be obedient. I know all of these things. But I'm telling you, before all of that, you've got to accept the finished work of Calvary. You've got to realize there was no good in you. No, not none. There was nothing about you that was attractive when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only person that saw worth in you was the Lord of heaven, because He created you. And then He called you because He loved you. He first loved us, and then that's when we came. Sometimes we view salvation. I bought this old Bible here. It's probably the oldest one. I got this. Let me read in the front here. My 18th birthday. And my brother Urban and sister Dawn and boys, 18th birthday, keep God in your life, and your life was blessed. I won't even save then. Amen. But this became my nursing home and jailhouse Bible, an Africa Bible. And if you can look at it, I don't know if you can tell, but it ain't the prettiest Bible right now. Amen? And I worked in the grain industry, and I had a van. I think I've told a few this before. This is the Bible I would take with me to work. And one day, when you work around grain all the time, there's these things called rats that try to get around where the grain is. Well, one day I had a bucket of grain in my van, and there was a mouse that got in there, and I couldn't catch him worth nothing. And you wouldn't believe it. That demon-possessed mouse began to eat my Bible. Right there, I can tell you, he was eating my Bible. Amen. And I always kid around, so that demon-possessed mouse tried to eat the Word of God. Amen. I said, I hope he got saved. Amen. Hey, understand that this is an old tattered Bible of mine. Parts of it are falling to pieces. Sometimes we feel like we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we use the terminologies, and we try to express at times, Lord, and I'm just using this as an example as us. Lord, here I am. I am tattered. I am torn. Lord, I know there ain't much here. Can you try somehow to fix me? And then we'll go on for a few months and we'll say, Lord, can you fix me yet, Lord? There's so much wrong there. But I want to tell you today, when you get saved, it's more than that. You don't just bring your rags and your tatteredness to the Lord, and the Lord has to sit there and say, I hope I can do something with so-and-so. I hope I can do something with so-and-so. No, the better example would be this. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're tattered, you're torn, and instead of the Lord trying to fix you and trying to make everything better with what's already broken, He pretty much does something like this. Look, I'll take your life. Here's a brand new one. That's what salvation really is. It's not about God trying to fix your old problems. It's not about God trying to work it out like He isn't strong enough. But I'm telling you, the salvation that we're in today, it is better than trying to stitch it up and sew it together. It's a brand new life. It is a miracle. It is a transformation. It is something that is supernatural. The devil can't stop it. The world don't understand it. You have to say, look, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Look, I know I'm not trying to be fixed. I'm already fixed. I'm born again. I'm made anew. That's what salvation is, and we've got to preach it that way. I've heard some preachers preach it. You've got to fix it up, buddy. You've got to fix it up, man. And look, I understand you doing something. I know. I'm not silly. I know what they mean. I know there's things we got to do and obey and understand. But sometimes we'll put a yoke on people and make it sound like we're unfixable. Like God can't do this. Why not preach a message that Jesus wants to make you new? Jesus wants to make your past like it's never happened. Jesus wants to do something special in you. A transformation that is real, that makes you new. It took me 2 years to understand this. I felt like I fought everything I could fight. I blamed everything on the devil. Until I came to the realization, Derek Jones is dead. I'm not trying to fix Derek Jones. I've got to live Christ. Amen. Listen to me. Sometimes there's individuals that will spend their whole life trying to die to self. They'll never live to Christ. There's some people, and I'm just saying, I've met them. They'll do their whole entire life. They might as well be a monk in the desert somewhere. They're living their whole life trying to die to self, and they never get up in the resurrection power and go forward into the things of God. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Look, yes, I know you got to die to self, but you also got to live Christ. Amen. And the Holy Ghost will help you do that. So understand today, it's not so much a change life more than it is an exchange life. That is the first step to victory. You must understand this. You must get this in your mind that the Lord ain't trying to fix your tattered rags. He'll give you new rags. Let's call it a garment. Amen. We understand this even in the Old Testament. It has this language in Isaiah 61:3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. He didn't say, look, give me your ashes, I'll see if I can't make something out of them. Maybe there's some substance left in there somewhere. No, give me your ashes, here's beauty. The glorious exchange. Give me your life. Give me that which is dead. Give me which that is rotten. Give me that life which is tattered. Give me that life which sin is marred. You give me that life, and guess what? Here you go, here's beauty. And then it goes on to say, and many of us probably could quote this, he gave them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Aren't you glad the Lord says, look, don't give me your mourning, your weeping and your upsetness and the parts of your broken heart. Give me your broken heart, and maybe if you give me a few weeks, maybe I can piece this bad boy together and maybe you'll be happy then. No, sir, when the Lord speaks to us, He says, you give me that broken heart, I'm going to give you joy. Amen. That's what God does for us. He goes on to say something like this, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lord, it's so heavy. Lord, can you somehow help me carry this? And God, I know, I ain't trying to pick apart all the terminology. Hear me. But Lord, can you help me carry this? Yes, God will help you carry this. But not only will He help you carry that, He'll take that spirit of heaviness. He'll give you a garment of freedom and praise and liberty and joy. That's what God does for us when we get saved. It's a joyous thing to be born again. Amen. You've met like, I use the term, you've seen like some are sucking on lemons. Amen. I've been to some churches, you meet them and I'm just saying evangelize. I've went to some people in the foyer, I said, we're in for it tonight. I've talked to some preachers on the phone, they said, who do you know? I said, Jesus. Amen. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm born again. It's a new life. It's not about who you know in this world. It's not about your political connections. It's not about this. It's not about that. All I can say is I was blind. Now I see. I was lost. Now I found. I was heavy. Now I can rejoice. I had mourning. Now I have joy. I had ashes. Now I have beauty. These things are beautiful. The planning of the Lord that He may be glorified. God's way is the way of replacement. He wants to change us, not to the place where He has to try to put it together. He wants to make you new. This is a revelation some people do not come to until later on in salvation. I've read about it. And it's a beautiful news. When you got saved, He gave you new life. Amen. You ever heard somebody, I've heard this term. Brother Derek, what I've done in the past, I do not think God can do much with me now. And I think about it and I say, you know what? Yeah, you were pretty rough, weren't you? It would be a lot of mess trying to put a veneer over that and make it look good. Amen. But what about somebody say, look, and all you can say to them, to try to get them to understand, look, it's not about your past now. Here's a brand new life. You can get born again and start anew right now. Hey, Nicodemus. Nicodemus didn't understand that in John chapter 3. Can I enter again to my mother's womb and be born again? Hey, he was telling Nicodemus, a religious man, a man that kept the law, a man that had it all figured out. He said, you know what, Nicodemus, you need to just start over right here, get born again and get a new life. Amen. This exchange life, this is a replacement more than it is a repair. This ought to cause us to praise the Lord. This is the meaning of holiness. This is the meaning of perfection. This is the meaning of victory. This is the life of the Son of God. From now on, Christ's meekness becomes my meekness. His holiness becomes my holiness. His prayer life can become my prayer life. His fellowship becomes my fellowship with God. From now there is no sin too great to overcome me. There is no temptation too great to withstand. Victory in Christ is real because I'm a new creature and it's not I that I'm alive, but it's Christ. This is actually very elementary. It's called the gospel. Yes. It's got to be preached and taught this way. You know what the hope is for our teenagers? It's Jesus. I've been in youth meetings where I've heard people instantly. Not here again. I know I say that a lot because I don't want nobody to think it's here. I've been to youth meetings. Well, I've heard instantly, I've heard some preachers get up there. I've been saved 45 years and I just now got the second gift of the Spirit. I've been saved all these years and I've just now gotten this far. And you can just almost see the young people. Oh, no hope for me. If He's been doing it this long and just getting this far, how in the world can I expect God to use me now? I'm a teenager on this. I love to preach to teenagers. Look, friend, here it is. You're young. Look, here it is. If you're 20, 30, 40, whatever you are, here it is. You're young. But Jesus wants to give you a new life. You ain't got to succumb. You don't have to become a part of your culture. You ain't got to conform to this. But Jesus wants to make everything new right now. Just give your life to Him and exchange it for a new one. Some churches or preachers, it's like they're trying to put a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. That's about the depth of their sermons. I hope you can make it through this one, son. If you're strong enough, you can do it. You'll overcome if you do this. If you do this, I'll say you'll overcome if you put your faith in Jesus Christ like you should. Jesus doesn't operate in putting Band-Aids on your gunshot wounds. He operates in extracting the bullet and healing the wound. That's how powerful salvation really is. Let's move forward in this. My second point in this, the principle of the overcoming life is this. It is a gift, not a reward. It is a gift, not a reward. Please remember that victory is a gift. It's not a reward. What is a gift? A gift is a present. It is something that is freely given. What we receive as a result, if we're not careful sometimes, we'll end up preaching a gospel that makes it sound like somebody's going to work hard enough to get a reward somewhere. You know, I've got a little puppy at home. If he does something right, you give him a treat. Look, I know there's some things in the walk with God. Yes, you got to. I know this. I don't want nobody to get confused. But the salvation that you've received and the victory that you need is a gift to you. You ain't got to climb Mount Holiness. I promise you that. God's victory is for you right now. You ain't got to go through a program to get victory. God's victory is for you right now. We're not trying to climb Mount Sinai. We're at Mount Zion, Jesus Christ. I ain't got to sit there and try to fight through this or fight through that. In Jesus, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall, hit the devil upside the head, and shout the victory. That's what it is in Christ. Amen. We look at this, we must understand it is a gift. Sometimes we make salvation and victory sound like a paycheck. You know what a paycheck is? You go in Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, who doesn't like getting a paycheck? Amen. I mean, we just like it. You know, you worked hard and you say, look, I earned that. Sometimes we make our victory in the Lord Jesus Christ like we're trying to earn a paycheck. It ain't that way. It's not that way at all. And it's not even biblical to preach it that way. Victory in the Lord Jesus Christ is a gift. It is something that if you put your faith in Him, you can have that victory. Even as I speak right now, what we receive as a result of work is what we call a paycheck or a reward. But we must freely receive without doing any work to get the salvation and the gift of victory. It's yours right now. Yes, I know you have to maintain things. The victory is yours even as I speak. The overcoming life which we speak of does not require, or you cannot expect your own effort to accomplish it. We look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is something that God has prepared and given to us. Our victory comes to us free of charge. We do not have to earn it by our own efforts. Victory is available now in Jesus. You know what the Muslims are trying to do? They're trying to work their way into heaven. I've watched them interviewed. And I've heard one of those sheiks, I believe it is. He said, the way we believe is you do as many good deeds as you can, and you just hope they outweigh your bad deeds when you die. I've heard some Christians like that. No, sir. You can have enough good deeds to fill up every bit of Hampton. You can have all the good deeds in the world. If you're not born again with the blood applied, with that exchange life, you put it beside Jesus and the holiness of God, and He outweighs you 50 billion, trillion, million, trillion to none. Amen. God's that holy. We must understand this today, friends. It is something, victory is a gift to us. It is a great mistake to think that salvation comes to us freely while victory comes to us by our work of our effort. Salvation is free, but so is victory. But some may believe, look, salvation is free, but victory isn't. It's just the same. Just the same faith you have salvation. It's the same faith that you can have victory today. It is all a free gift. Everything good that comes from the Lord, He wants to give you that victory even tonight. It is a gift to you. It is something to reach in and grab for. It's in these altars tonight. It is a gift to everyone that's in this building. If you understand this and you apply this, I'm telling you, friends, it works. I mentioned it a few times. I wrestled with things for multiple years before I actually came to this conclusion. It's not I, but Christ. I've said it before. Every time the devil would come around and try to tempt me, I got to the place that I would say, devil, how can you tempt a dead man? It's just the way I overcame. I would picture myself in a casket and tell the devil, go over there and tempt him. He's dead. Christ lives here. That's what you've got to understand. If you can get that in your mind, that Derek Jones is dead, now Christ lives. It could be Holly Jones is dead, now Christ lives. Tommy is dead, now Christ lives. Everybody in this room today, if you're in Christ, the old man is dead. And temptation don't mean nothing to a dead man. Go up to a casket, lay $1 million on the chest of a corpse and say, hey, want to make a deal? It doesn't tempt him one bit. You know why? He's dead. That's what you got to think about. When the devil comes around and say, hey, it don't even make any sense, Satan. There's a corpse named Derek, but Jesus lives here. This is the life of Christ now. It is not I, but Christ that lives here. It is that free gift. We must understand that. We must understand that today. Even with the illustration with the Bible, it's like somebody come up to you. If I took this Bible and said, I'll sell it to you for $50. I don't know if it's worth that much, but I'm just saying. And I'll say, look, if you do this, Go around the church. If you sweep here, you sweep there. If you go up in the gutters, clean the gutters out. If you come back here, you do it then. After you do this week-long of work, look, I'm going to pass you this Bible here. It's all yours. But it's another thing when I look at you and say, hey, you got an extra Bible, take it. It's yours right now. Merry Christmas. It's a gift. No effort involved, is it? It is a gift. The third illustration I want you to understand is this, and we'll try not to take too much longer. The way to receive this life, it has to be obtained and not attained. Obtained, I'll spell it to you because I know this sounds so close. Obtained is spelled O-B-T-A-I-N-E-D. You have to obtain the salvation and victory, and you cannot obtain victory and salvation. There's a difference. The overcoming life is something that is obtained, not attained. The matter can only be obtained. Hear me today. What does it mean to obtain something? To obtain is to acquire something. It means simply it's yours, it's there. What does it mean to obtain something? To obtain something is to go through a process, to go through a journey, to go through a curriculum or a program, to earn something gradually, or to try to progress to that. Your victory today is something you can receive. You ain't got to work your way to it. It's there. It's available even as we speak. Now look, I know there's some things in salvation that is progressive. I know that. I'm not ignorant to the fact there are progressive things in salvation. But there are still things in salvation that is instantaneous. Many things in salvation that is instantaneous. Aren't you glad today that you came to the altar and you prayed and you asked Jesus into your heart? Jesus said, look, here's a rain check. 2 weeks from now, you'll get saved. Wouldn't that be something? When you get born again, instant. I believe, even right now as I speak, if you need victory in your life, you don't have to wait till next week. It's instant. Amen. I want you to understand that. Whatever you need, God can do it now. And that's not name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. I'm telling you, victory in your spiritual life can be right now. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It doesn't have to be 2 weeks from now. You can have victory right now. Even as I speak, if you simply get this in your mind today, Jesus is alive and you let yourself die. Victory's there. A good example of what it means to obtain something is the idea of, say, Let's use the example of attaining. A-T-T-A. You know how it's spelled. I ain't going to start spelling I'm a man. Hey, man, I'll mess that all up. But when you... No, I wasn't jabbing at you, man. I know some of you can spell. I'm sorry. Amen. When you attain something, let me say, for instance, I'm climbing a mountain. Let's say it's Mount Everest. I know you can't picture that, and I can't either, but just try. I mean, snow. I've got my gear on. I'm trying my best. And I'm climbing that mountain. I'm doing everything I can. I'm trying to attain that mountain. I'm trying to attain to the top of the peak. I'm putting forth every effort. I'm setting up my tent. I'm sleeping out there at night. Oh, I'm waiting to get to the very peak. And all of a sudden, I get to the very top. I can put my hands up because I just attained Mount Everest. Now, you ever seen somebody get carried around on one of them chairs with poles? Now, if I was sitting in the chair the whole time, and I'm climbing it, somebody else is climbing the mountain, I'm just sitting in it, and they're working hard, they're getting me up there. That's not attaining, that's obtaining. I'm going to tell you, in salvation, you didn't climb the mountain. Jesus did. You didn't overcome death. Jesus did. You didn't overcome sin. Jesus did. You didn't make yourself worthy. Jesus did. Everything you understand today is because He carried you. He did something in your life. He got you to the top. Everything related to the Holy Spirit is received. And everything related to victory is received all through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who is of God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You ever heard that verse? I'm going to read it again. I want you to hear it. But of Him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You want to tell you how you're saved? Because of Jesus. You want to tell you get sanctified? Jesus. You don't sanctify yourself. Jesus does. Jesus sanctifies you. Amen. It didn't matter what you did before you got saved. You could not have done it. It was Jesus. And same thing with redemption and righteousness. All these things is all because of Jesus. Hear me today, friend. We must understand that instantaneous work. God wants to do an instantaneous work in your life right now. Amen. I read about a man one time. He was a chicken thief. And I may have told it here before. This chicken thief originally, he stole 7 chickens a week. And he thought to himself, I want to do better. I don't want to steal everybody's chickens, you know. It ain't right to keep taking chickens from people. I've got a mama raised me better than that. I'm more of a moral guy than that. So what he said to this, he decided in his mind later, he resolved to behave better, intending to steal 1 chicken less each week. So he stole 7 chickens. Next week he stole 6. Next week he stole 5. 4, 3, 2, 1. God's greater than that. Like, I know some things are progressive. Believe me, I know God's worked in my heart in different ways. I know everybody's got their own testimony. But God can take the chicken seed from 7 to 0 in no time. If they put their faith wholly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know sometimes, hear me today, I know sometimes the chicken thief, sometimes he'll go from stealing 7 to stealing 1. I know that, but God will continue to deal His mercy, His grace. I know it's different from everybody, but I'm telling you today, when you really understand in your mind that you can obtain victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll make the chicken thief go from 7 to 0 like that. That's what God wants to do. Even when it comes to smoking something like cigarettes, you know, I've dealt with enough people, I cannot overcome, they tell me. And I tell them, look, you know, you can overcome this. I've seen some that progressively got delivered off cigarettes. I've witnessed different ways. And God gets the glory in all of it. But I also seen a woman one time, Sister Mary Jane, smoked 42 years of her life, got born again. I remember the service. She left. She says she got delivered from cigarettes and never smoked another one in 42 years. Can you imagine? That's a pretty big addiction. 42 years of smoking. Now I've seen God do it in progressive. I know God is not bound by a box. God can do anything in His divine wisdom. I like what Brother Kenny Morris told one man one time. Brother Kenny Morris is a very successful pastor there. He told a guy, came to him, he said, I can't quit smoking. He said, all right. He said, I'll make a bargain with you. Every cigarette you smoke tomorrow, fast a day. Brother Kenny said, it won't be 2 weeks. And the man said, I got deliverance. You'll find you love food more than you love cigarettes. Amen. He said, if you're honest with yourself, he said, every cigarette you smoke, I'll fast a day. And that man said, after he got about 3 or 4 days, he said, you know what? I'd rather eat a steak any day than sit here and starve. He said, I just ain't going to do it. I'm telling you, friend, there's different ways God works, but there is also that instantaneous experience where we put our faith in Him, where we obtain it. It's not obtained, it's not a work, but it's acceptance of it in the Lord Jesus Christ as my wife gets ready to go to the piano. Galatians 2:20 says this. Let me read it to you one more time. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is the key to victory. I'm going to read it one more time just because it's so beautiful and nobody can say it better than the Holy Ghost did in the Word. I am crucified with Christ. I ask you right now, surrender to that. Make that an application in your life. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead. I'm gone. I no longer exist in myself. Nevertheless, I live. Say, look, I'm still breathing. But I'm breathing, yet not I, it's not me, but it's Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Second, next verse goes like this, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Don't you thank God for Jesus Christ? As my introduction, I relate to you, V for victory. But if you don't mind me kind of redoing the V, can we put C for victory? Christ. Christ for victory. More than thee, more than Winston Churchill being able to inspire an army. I'm telling you, Jesus is still able to inspire the body of Jesus Christ. If you would stand to your feet, I hope you receive from God's Word today. God, I trust. I hope this found place in your heart like it did mine. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not a changed life. It is an exchanged life. It is a gift to you, not a reward. It is a life that is obtained. It is not a life that is attained. Anybody ever heard of John Wesley? I talk about him a lot because I like the guy. He was very diligent, tough. John Wesley, you ever heard of Charles Wesley? You ever heard of George Whitefield? When they went to college together, all three of them were in a club they created on their own called the Holy Club. Amen. The Holy Club. They would fast 2 days a week. They would pray and read on hours ends. And John Wesley said, I wasn't even saved. Can you imagine that? Fasting 2 days a week. Would read and pray. Would buffet his body. Would do things. He would sacrifice so much. And he said, I won't even saved. Sitting on a boat one night. I've told the story before. John Wesley was sitting on this boat. And there was a certain movement at that time called the Moravian Movement that really possibly changed the world and is the reason why some of us have heard the gospel. The Moravian Movement were men that had their faith in Jesus Christ and Lord, you'd read about them yourself. And all of a sudden a major storm came and that boat was a shaking and a rocking. And John Wesley and everybody else on that boat thought they were about to die. Were so afraid except the Moravians. He looked at them men and women and he said, ain't y'all afraid? They said, no. We die, we'll be present with the Lord. He thought to himself, all this effort I'm giving, I don't even have that assurance. I'm beating myself up every day. I don't even have that guarantee and that own joy in my own heart. It was that day that John Wesley said, I put my faith in Christ. It's not I that live, but it's Christ. It's not my efforts, but it's His. Look, I know God blesses everybody's efforts. Please, I want you to understand that. But tonight, if you need victory in your life, in any area, any fashion, situations, whatever it is, God knows, all of us are needy people. Oh, I am a needy man. I need Christ. I want you to understand that you can have that victory, this very service. Come find your place to pray. I appreciate you listening. Let God help you tonight. Let God minister to your needs.